All right, we're going to pick it up in Matthew 26, verse number 69 to paragraph mark. The Bible says, "Now Peter sat without in the palace." Now, before I get very far, you ought to go through your Bible and look at places where people sat and compare and contrast that. You have to be careful just sitting. Nothing wrong with sitting and resting. But there's a difference between resting and being lazy. The Bible talks about in Proverbs where a slothful man says there's a lion without. I'll be slain in the street. He's always got an elaborate excuse. You ever notice how somebody who really don't want to do anything for the Lord or don't want to work, they've always got a great big old excuse. We had one guy work for us. His mama died twice. I'm serious. This is what we started doing. He had so many excuses. My brother and I, we started keeping a notebook of excuses people had. And some of them are hilarious. This one guy, like a year or two previous, he worked for us for a while, but he was off. And he said, well, his mama had died. And he knew we didn't, keep up with him. So we was like, okay, well, no man would lie about something like that. Well, a couple of years later, he's like, man, I got to be off on how many days it's going to take. My mama's done died. And Jason said, who was that? And I called his name. He said, hey, guy's mama's done died. He said, no. And I'll tell you something, that guy ended up losing his job. You go too far. But what I'm saying is, here's Peter. This is his denial. He's losing his discipleship, not his salvation. But Peter, and we'll talk about it in the sermon today, he's sitting in the palace now. And if you look at your cross reference of Matthew 26, verse number 3, it says, "Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest who was called Caiaphas." He's sitting around with people who are against Christ. Look, the Bible tells you over there in Psalms chapter 1, you don't have to turn there, but I'm just trying to complete a thought while it's here. You have to be careful where you're comfortable. If you're sitting somewhere, most time if you're comfortable enough to sit down, that ought to tell you something. Well, listen to this. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not." Here's your progression. First, you're walking not in the counsel of ungodly. First, you'll get to walking in counsel. In ungodly counsel. Then you get a little bit more comfortable, "nor standeth in the way of sinners." Then you get to where you're standing for long, "nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." You know what sin will make you do? Get you comfortable. That's why sometimes it's good to get out of your comfort zone.
That's right.
I'm telling you, whenever you start getting out of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and you stop being a disciple of the Lord, that has to do with discipline, you will get to where you're comfortable in places that you would have never thought you'd been comfortable in. That's a scary thing. That's why you have to ask yourself, what am I comfortable doing? Am I comfortable being around certain people who don't even love the Lord? I'm going to tell you, sometimes I'll be around somebody and I'm learning just to go ahead and just end the conversation or walk off. You ever been around some people and before you get a chance to tell them about the Lord where you put that shield up, a lot of times if you tell somebody right off something about or mention the Lord, that puts a shield up. That way you can, if you say, hey, now I don't deal in conversation like that, it's more understood. But if you get to them and they get to you and they start right off, start cussing and carrying on stuff like that, here you are, you're thinking, man, I'm uncomfortable. This is very uncomfortable. I'm getting out of here. But what I'm saying is we have to be real careful about where we get comfortable at. Here's Simon Peter. Now he's sitting in that place with all these people who don't even love the Lord. And that's a dangerous place to be in. And watch what it does to you. Sin will make you lose your courage. Adam and Eve were walking with the Lord in the cool of the day, and then before long, first thing, Adam sinned. Guess what? He said, I was afraid, and I hid myself. Watch this. And a damsel came unto him. He went from having enough courage to cutting the ear off of Malchus, the high priest's servant, to now saying, these also... a damsel came unto him saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee, but he denied before them all. First, in front of everybody, he didn't care who he's with. Lord, do all deny you. I will not. Saying, I know not what thou sayest. Six little words right there. There's a man, I know not what thou sayest. I don't know what you're talking about. You see how this flesh, see what flesh will do? That's why you have to be real careful. Oh, so-and-so, he don't know the Lord. Peter knew the Lord pretty good. Mm-hmm. People say, if I knew the Lord, I wouldn't never do. You better be careful saying that stuff. I've seen people now, I hadn't been in the ministry as long as a lot of guys, but I've been in it long enough to know this. You better watch that, I wouldn't never do so-and-so. I've seen. I've been in it long enough now to see preachers who I have been there with them, and we've been talking to them in conference, and they say, I tell you what, I would never do something.
That's right.
Let 5 years get down the road, and you get talking to them, they say, man, I tell you, man, I just had a weak moment done. Man, you know what that lets me know? I better be careful.
I better be careful.
You know why? If David and Peter, they greater men than me. Look, I'm telling you, I ain't near the man Peter was. And if he did it, you better believe before long, I don't know what you're talking about. You know what happens? Get comfortable in sin and with other people before long. A lot of times, we wouldn't just come out and say, I don't know the Lord. But what happens is we deny Him by not even saying anything when we should have said something. Instead of giving out that track, and the Holy Spirit says, I'd like for you to give out that track. And you say, okay. So you just denied Him. But see, whenever you're in fellowship with the Lord, you're sensitive enough when the Holy Spirit can say, hey, you ain't got to say a thing. Just give them a track. Or just put a track down. See, what I'm saying is, we'll deny Him in some way. It may not be the exact same way. This is giving you an example of how you can deny the Lord in front of other people when He had all that courage. That's a scary thing. Verse 71, and when He was gone out into the porch, another maid saw Him. You see how go from manly to scared of a maid. go from drawing the sword out. I would draw my sword out. I'll just fight my way out of it. And here comes a maid. Saw Him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus Nazareth. Watch what he does. This shows you, man, I'm telling you, you better be careful of that flesh. And again, he denied with an oath.
No.
I do not know the man. Six more words. Ain't that right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. See how man does? That's showing you this progression right here of backsliding, of getting out of fellowships, what Paul likens it to. And you know what? Before long, we're getting to where we don't even want to have nothing to do with Jesus. That's getting in comfortable with it. Somebody who knew Jesus, walked with Jesus, and all of a sudden, I don't even know Him. Verse 73 says, and after a while came unto Him they that stood by. You look, it's going to keep coming. And said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee.
That's right.
They knew who he was from. I mean, you think it's making it, your speech is visible. We know. Now, I'm going to tell you this right here. A lot of times, you can know somebody who's saved. By a lot of times they're saved inside a fellowship. You know it, and they don't even realize it. A lot of times, some of these people, now they're not going to just say something real bad about the Lord. A lot of times they know when something's wrong. But what they'll do is they'll just kind of skirt the issue a little bit. And what's happening is that's showing, and don't you know the Lord knows their heart? And then you get to feeling bad about getting a vehicle and get feeling bad about well, you know what's going on. Simon Peter this whole time is feeling bad about it, but he's let his anger and other issues and things like that get him offended because it didn't work out the way he wanted it to work out. Now that's one of the biggest things that can get us as believers, is when things don't work out the way we think things should have worked out. And then all of a sudden, we're just mad. And when we say things we don't mean when we're mad. We do things we shouldn't do when we're mad. You know what he's doing? He is serving out of anger right here, and it's messing him up. And that's what happens to a lot of people. Something will happen in their life. They'll lose a job or lose a loved one or something like that. Or things don't work out as far as their plans when they were younger. They don't work out and they get mad. Well, you know what? That's not the Lord's fault. For number one, The Lord's already saved you if you trust Him. That's the best thing that could ever happen to you. Well, another thing, you're living in a cursed earth. People forget that.
That's right.
There's no guarantee in this earth. If you get it, that's wonderful. But it's not a guarantee.
That's right.
And here he is doing this. Now watch what he says this. He knows how lost people talk, don't he? He said, then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. That's five. That'll kill anything right there. I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Now you know what he's doing? Somebody who doesn't know Jesus, he knows how to say. He knows what to say. You know, he had the Old Testament. And I want to read something to you out of Exodus. Right quick. He knows what to say. And Exodus 5 verse 2, Pharaoh didn't know God. And it said, and Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey His voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. He's saying, Pharaoh said, I don't know the Lord. You know what he's doing? He's talking just like a lost man.
Yeah.
Just knows Jesus Christ, knows Him, walk with Him, everything else. You know what a lot of folks do? They get to the place where they talk just like lost people because they're out of fellowship with God.
That's right.
And that's a dangerous place to be. But you know what? This is something here. Each Sunday, sometimes I say, do I harp on that too much? I don't think you can now. But you keep pointing people to the Word, pointing people to the Word. Watch what got him. It says in verse 75, and Peter, I need to read the bottom of that verse. And immediately the cock crew. But watch what Peter did in verse 75. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus. Well, Jesus is God. So he remembered the word of God. Now, what one reason why we need to keep reading every day, even if it's just a little bit here and a little bit there, is something, you're going to do something, and the word of God is going to come back to your mind and convict you, and you're going to say, my, I'm not right. I'm not right. And watch what it did to him. Which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. It got to him. I hate this, and I've told y'all before, I can't stand this fake, phony weeping that people do. I've seen preachers doing it, sickening. But at the same time, if you ever get to the place where you can't have some tears with the Lord, and you ever get to the place where this is how you test it. If worldly things can make you sad, but things about the Lord can't make you sad, you're out of balance. Now, not lost or nothing like that. Look, if you're saved, you're saved. But the trouble is that the world will suck your feelings dry, so you don't have any feelings for the Lord left. If you can't feel something there, as far as with the Lord tugging on your heart, there is an issue. You know what he did? He wept bitterly. Joy comes in the morning. Weeping may endure for a while, night, but joy comes in the morning. You know what? There's going to be a lot of joy because of some sadness that's came in. Why? Godly sorrow leadeth to repentance, not to be repented of. You're not going to change your mind about getting right. You're going to be glad you got right. Well, see, he went out and wept bitterly. And I tell you something, you know what America needs and this world needs? It's not just America, is getting right.
Yeah.
There are a lot of Christians out there, y'all. I've talked to people, and they've got issues going on. They may be aggravated about something, or they're just not coming to church anymore. Somebody made them mad. Yeah, you're going to go somewhere else, and they're going to make you mad there too. But you know what one of the biggest things is? They just need to get down and get right with God.
That's right.
And I tell you something, it'll fix a whole lot of things.
That's right.
Just get right with God. Now we're going to get into this thing here, verse 1, chapter 27. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. That just makes me, when I read that, Jesus, the Lord had never done anything to anybody but help people, and they're all jealous of him. Tell you something, envy's a killer, man.
Yes, it is.
In verse 2, and when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Now, I tell you something, Pontius Pilate, if he never did, which, you know, you have to be careful. So that guy's lost in hell. It probably is, but you never know about folks. Look, it's not in the Bible. I have to be careful now about stuff. But, I mean, I'm sure he may be, but I tell you this. if he didn't do nothing else, he saw Jesus was a just man.
Yeah.
And his wife did too. You can't get rid of Jesus. He tried his best, but you can't do it. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself. You don't repent yourself. See, that's what the thing is. He knew his plans were not going to come to pass. He knew that everything he had thought was going to happen didn't happen. The Lord has actually is winning the victory already. Look, Judas's plan's not working out. So guess what he did? He repented himself. That's why God wasn't in it. It said he repented himself. God's got to be in it. God's got to show you something in His Word, and you say, "I'm responding in repentance to that Word. I'm changing my mind because of that Word." Not just come up with my own way to do it, my own way to go. That's worldly. Judas is the perfect example of Pharaoh said, "I have sinned this time," went back right back out and just completely went against God. You got all kind of people in the Bible. Saul, he had false repentance. There's false repentance in the Bible, but when you get Simon Peter, that's right. That's right. Repent. Why? It's based on the Word. He remembered the Word. Judas repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. What do you think about this right here? How the chief priests and elders, it's amazing how, well, let me just read this. Saying, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood." And they said, all right, what is that to us? See thou to that. Let me tell you something. These guys right here are so sorry. I want to see if I think this is the verse I was wanting to show you. I stayed up real late last night with all that stuff, and I didn't really get to go over. Pharaoh said, "I have sinned this time," in Exodus 9:27. "The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked," but he didn't mean a word of it. Man, I wanted to show you. Let me see if I can find this just a second here. And they said, let me see, all right. Listen to this right here. Matthew 23, verse 23. The Lord said to these scribes and Pharisees and everything, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted," watch this, "the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye have to have done, and not to leave the other undone." He said, there's important parts of laws here, but the weightier matters are the justice and mercy. Yet they're showing, these are the priests, they're showing no mercy. You better beware of people who don't show any mercy.
Amen.
We've got a merciful God. You know what God's doing right now? We're in a great period of grace right now, and we're seeing a lot of mercy. But that people underestimate that. One of these days, you're going to see, we're going to be taken out of here, thank the Lord. This world going to see unsheathed hell, and they're going to see unmercy. Why? God's going to take His mercy off of things. You know what, right here, these people right here were supposed to, here's the leaders, and they should have said, "Hold on now, Judas. Now you're saying you want to get right? Let's see if you want to get right here. I know you got this money," but no, they didn't care. They didn't care about this guy. You know what's wrong with this world as compared to Christianity? They don't care. If they ain't getting anything out of it, they don't care.
That's right.
See thou to that. That's what the world will tell you. That's what religion will tell you. That's what the Pope will tell you. That's what cardinals and priests will tell you. Why? They got religion, but they don't really care. They don't really care. There's a lot, and I just use them for example because they're about as evil gets, but there's other ones out there that's not in the Roman Catholicism system that's just as easy. I've met Pentecostal preachers. I know two of them right now. I actually seen them in a restaurant, coming out of the restaurant here when we went here a couple weeks ago. Is evil working straight for the devil? Well, I know personally they do. And let me, well, they may not just come out, but their heart, they're working for the devil. They don't have any mercy on people who should have mercy. Why? They are in it for the money.
Amen.
You know what these people, they don't care about the 30 pieces of silver. Why? Just as long as they can make their money off that temple and the money exchangers and all this. It's a big old racket and they're making millions back then. No telling what they was making off of. You know what it is? They're in it for the money. You know why so much false doctrine is being preached and stuff like that? Look, you can go on sermon, whatever, on that internet, and you can get a sermon outline, and they just whip them something up and cook it up in 5 minutes. That's why the power of God's not on it. Some of these people don't even believe in the power of God. They think it's just like a speech, like you do anything else. No, you're doing something for God. You're carrying forth this word. It's supposed to be a reverent and holy thing instead of just for the money. There's people that's going up there to that Blue Mountain College. You know what they'll do? They'll go up there and get them a degree and say, well, I'm a minister now. No, you ain't. Not if God hadn't called you. Don't count me if you got enough degrees, you look like a thermometer. That doesn't matter. What I'm saying is, when I read this text right here, these are people who are supposed to know better, and the Lord Jesus had their number. He called them a hypocrite. I'll tell you this too, and I'll say it on Judas's token of it. He's getting right what's coming to him. You know what a lot of people are against Jesus and betraying Jesus and don't like Jesus? Let me tell you, you don't have to worry about that. I pray people get saved and all that stuff. But look, if they don't get it here, they'll get it over yonder. Why? Well, this earth is not, there's no way this earth is all. I'm telling you that Judas is just as bad as they are, but you see what they do? They bite and devour one another. You know why the Bible tells us in Galatians we shouldn't bite and devour one another's Christian? Whenever it serves their purpose, they'll throw their own under the bus.
That's right.
You see that junk go on in the political world all the time. One of them come, they'll be buddies with each other as long as they can get an agenda across. But if one of the other ones crosses their agenda, they're trying to get, they'll throw him under the bus. He'll take the fall, and the rest of them keep going. That's what they're doing. It ain't no different then than it is now. The Bible has their number. This is a timeless book. It's got timeless truths in it. And you can see what's going on then and what's going on now. No different. So what's Judas doing? The Bible said he's the son of perdition. The Bible said he is the devil. He's working for, like, right at the devil. That evil spirit is working in that body. That man is a right-hand man of Satan. He's the son of perdition. Christ called him that. He knows he's got to go out here and get things done. He has to hang on a tree. Why? Curseth every man that hangeth on a tree. The Lord Jesus, he's got to counterfeit the Lord. Now, I could get into stuff about whenever he comes back and stuff, but I'm just telling you, Judas is working his angle and they're working their angle. And guess what happened? That whenever the wicked work without the Lord, just all of them fall in a ditch. The blind lead the blind, they all fall in a ditch. And this, in their case, it'd be the bottomless pit and an endless ditch. What I'm telling you is, when I see that right there, I say, Lord, by the grace of God, if you'll help me yield to the Holy Spirit, I don't want to be like that right there. I don't want to be like those guys. We want to be people who have mercy and judgment, and we are exercising these biblical characteristics. Well, God said, I'd rather have that. This is the last thing they have. You know, we're living in a world that doesn't have mercy, and guess what they're going to get one of these days? They're going to get a God who won't have mercy on them. He said, have some mercy on some of these people. Show them some love and some care and stuff like that. And we're seeing a world that's going to be without love. They're going to be without love. They're going to be without faith. And he said, when I come back, and that's with the church age, the love of them on sale, their own selves, it's going to be without love. You know what? We should be the direct opposite of what this right here is. Somebody comes up and they said, brother, I know I've been doing something wrong. Can you show me a Bible verse? Can you pray with me? Yes, sir. I've done this, that, and other. Okay, look, let's get you to the Lord. The Lord can help you. We're living in a world now that's just no mercy whatsoever. Right. Want their agenda going? Won't point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. These people right here should have pointed and said, "Hey, we got some scriptures right here on what to do." We can go in here and I can show you here in the law. They had that, but no, they wasn't going to do it. You know what we're supposed to be able to do? We're supposed to know our Bibles enough to say, okay, here's a verse right over here that'll help you with that if you need some help. We're supposed to be able to point people to the Lord, and they wouldn't do it. It says, and he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Absalom did, and there's all kind of issues there on that. I think it's, let me see if it's Deuteronomy 21. You don't have to turn there. I had a comment on that I was wanting to give you, but like I said, I should have went over my verses this morning. Let me see if this is it. 22. Yeah, this is the look. He knew enough to do this. And if a man, verse 22, if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be to be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him. That I don't know if I didn't read it right or not. But thou shalt in any wise bury him that day, for he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. All right, so guess what? He's accursed of God. Judas was accursed of God. He had to go hang himself on a tree. Number one, he's counterfeiting the Lord. With Judas being anti-Christ, he's the son of perdition. If the church age hadn't come in, all that stuff, the Lord had it set up to where if the body of Christ hadn't come in, the Antichrist, the son of perdition, was already there. He could counterfeit the Lord. He done hung on the tree and everything without the church age right there would have fit correctly together. But see, right now we're living in what we can call a parenthesis, the church age. That's why one of these days things will pick right back up as we go out of here. You'll have somebody be able to say, hey, I was the real Christ. I'm the one who hung on a tree. All that stuff. Look, you're not going to beat that Bible. Everything was set up, and the Lord had, guess what he did? Had mercy and saved the Apostle Paul and revealed the doctrines of the body of Christ. And here we are right now, and one of these days we're going to be gone. And guess what the Lord can do? Pick right back up where he left off and finish out Daniel's 70th week. It's all set up. It's amazing, amazing. This book is amazing. Verse 6, and the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful, you rascals, it's not lawful for to put them into the treasury because it is the price of blood. We'll kill an innocent man, but no, we can't do this. This gets law. The Bible says, thou shalt not murder. And here they are, they're just, that's not lawful. You know what that is? That's showing you how your flesh, you know, you'll pick out some Bible verses and say, oh, I like that. I can do that. Oh, it's more blessed to give than receive. That's good. And, this right here looks pretty rough. I don't know about, you get over here, and I'm telling you, 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. If I want to get under conviction, I can read that last part of 1 Thessalonians 5 and get there right quick. Wow, we want to take the parts we want to and discard the other ones. You know what they're doing? They're taking the part they want and discarding another. That's acting just like people. If we do that with the Bible, that's acting just like people who had the Lord hung on the cross.
That's right.
That's why we ought to say, Lord, it's all good. I want to learn it rightly divided. But what's to me, Lord, I want you to help me apply it to my life. And I tell you something, it make a difference. In verse 7, and they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. It says, verse 9, now, of course, that field there, you know, we'll read later on how an earthquake happened. And what happened was the best, if you piece the scriptures together, whenever the earthquake happened, Judas is hanging in the tree. And he's hanging up there like this. And whenever the earthquake happened, his body falls down and hits on a rock. And it busts him open. Field of blood. And you could study that. And that's a pretty interesting study just in itself. But it's amazing how that scripture is just being fulfilled. Every little piece is being fulfilled like that. Even the stuff that has to do with Judas, all being fulfilled. Now verse 9 says this, then was fulfilled that which was spoken. Now I've got this underlined in my Bible. Some people, they'll try to say there's mistakes in the Bible. It says, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. Now, that is written down, if you got a cross reference in Zechariah 11, just happened to be verse number 13, Mr. 13, Mr. Rebellion. All right. But it says, people say, well, see, Jeremiah didn't write there. It's a contradiction Bible. Every word of God is pure. It said he spoke it. It did not say he wrote it. He spoke it. Zechariah wrote it. It's that simple. People try to get in that Bible. You know what? That Bible is written in such a way where if you yield to your flesh nature, you'll find contradictions there and you'll convince yourself they're there and they're not even there.
That's exactly right.
God wrote it in such a way, look, it's a discerner and thoughts of the intents of the heart. Now, you know what? If you wanted to, you could say, that Bible's not so I can go out here and just live like a devil. You better be careful. Every little word is important. It says clearly, spoken. So if anybody ever asked you about one of them things like that, that's like they say, well, you know, Enoch prophesied saying, you know, over in Jude, and they say there's a book of Enoch. That book is not placed in the canon. It said Enoch prophesied. It never said he wrote about it. Never said. Look, that book of Enoch, I got that thing at the house. That thing is not inspired of God, I can tell you. If it was, they would have placed it right here. And it's not in there. And we're not going to go questioning God's Word. Look, that makes my life so much easier. They say, well, what if they would have done, you know, these people here put this thing. No, God had this thing put together. 66 holy, this right here, if you want to have God talking to you, they're right here. 66 books placed in one book, the Bible. You don't need nothing else. Now, if you want to read that stuff, I've got the book of Jasher at the house, and I've got Enoch and all that stuff. Nowhere near as interesting as the Bible. You know what? I've heard people say, well, I've read Charles Spurgeon, and I've read this guy, and I've read that. I've got some stuff to have. Yeah, I read the Bible and found out it was better.
Amen.
Nobody's going to improve on the Word of God.
No.
You're never wasting time when you're reading the Word of God. I always put that first. Let's see, we almost to a good stopping place. Verse 11 says, and Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said to him, thou sayest. You said it, man. And when he was accused, of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. I'm going to stop right here. You don't want to get to the place where the Lord don't answer you anything.
Hey, that's right.
I'm telling you this, man.
Hey.
In this lost world, they just think I'll get saved tomorrow and all this stuff. You may not be here tomorrow.
That's right.
Yeah. What if you get to the place where you don't get under conviction anymore? It's scary. It's scary, man. I thank the Lord. Hey. When I want to talk to my Savior, I'm saved, blood bought, heaven bound. When I go to my Savior, me and Him can talk and have sweet fellowship. Nothing like it. Nothing like it. I don't want that silence. I don't want that silence. I thank the Lord that my Savior, when I come to Him, we can have a conversation, talk things out, and He'll help you. Man, that's a blessing.
Yes, it is, brother.
Let's go to the Lord.